You're listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast, your weekly post-apocalyptic news roundup.
Hello and welcome to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Derek. I'm joined by Sean, our senior editor.
Hello.
We have a great short abbreviated podcast coming up, but first let me tell you a little bit about what's going on our website, postapocalypticmedia.com. We have regular content, everybody. If you want regular content, well, we've got that, and it's all at our website. And maybe you don't want to visit the website all the time because you're forgetful and you just forget that it exists and that you need to go there and find out what's up. If that is you, we have a solution, and that is called the email list. Join our email list. You will be informed every month of our articles and reminded that that is going on. Another way to stay informed about post-apocalyptic announcements, media, events, movies, TV shows is to use our calendar. That's right, brand new. Our calendar is full of interesting things. If you use Google Calendars, you can just automatically import all the events directly into your calendar on your phone, on your computer, however you use your digital calendar. So, and it's a great way, you know, if you don't want to do that, you can at least, you know, look forward in time. You see, oh, I didn't know, you know, that video game was coming out then, or that movie was coming out that weekend. It can really help you keep up to date. So these are things we're going to be keeping updated. We just introduced them, and we'd love for you guys to use it. Next thing to discuss, hey, if you like this podcast, let us know. Let the world know. Like, share, subscribe, make a viral TikTok video about it. And we'd really appreciate it. If you make a comment on our videos, we'll read it. I'll read it. I'm not going to obligate Sean to read your comments, but even if it eviscerates us, I'm going to read that comment. So do that, please. Even a negative comment, any press is good press. Just put it out there. And lastly, in the announcement section, thank you, a big thank you to Morning Owl Media. You help us so much, and this podcast really wouldn't be possible without your help. So I appreciate it. If you have the desire to start a podcast or to up your podcast game, Morning Owl Media, morningowlmedia.com. And with that, we are going to, I just want to pitch that we have guests coming that they're just running a little bit late. They're getting all set up for us. And until they arrive, we have a few things to discuss.
Yes, we do.
So let's get started. First off, I want to give a big shout out to The Computer Science. The Computer Science is a YouTube channel who currently has 91 subscribers. And so they're a baby, they're a little baby YouTube channel. But they offered me a great service. And that is, you know, I'm watching Attack on Titan. And I go online and I find out that there are many episodes that are only in Japanese and there's no English dub. And what the computer science, that's the name of their channel, believe it or not, The Computer Science did is they made English dubs of those little Japanese shorts for me to watch. This is Attack on Titan, like extra materials kind of stuff. So it's called OVA. And they did the whole dub, and they just put it on YouTube. So until the fun police come and shut you down, I just want to say a big thank you to them. Sean, would you like to tell us about the guest that's coming up?
Or should we just wait? Well, yeah, let's wait. He actually said he's ready now.
Oh, fantastic. All right, everybody, we have a special treat today. Sean invited some friends of his to come and share a project that they're working on and also just to hang out with us and shoot the breeze. So, Sean, I'll let you introduce them.
All right. Yeah, I figured it would be fun to have. We have Jim Tank Dorsey and Faye Merman. How are you guys doing?
Good. Awesome. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah. Now, you guys have been working on this documentary for a while, and this is a documentary that is focused on Tank's life. And it's all about kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's all about how Tank is kind of like an ordinary guy living in an extraordinary world, right?
Yes, that he created for himself, and many, many, many people followed suit.
Yeah.
Been like a leader. Yeah.
Oh boy.
And before we get into that, I have to embarrass Tank here, because, you know, I've known Tank for a couple years, and you know, we've been in a couple costume groups together, Dragon Con and Wasteland Weekend, and Tank is a great guy. He puts 300% into everything, and he doesn't half-ass anything. And so it's an honor to have you on the show and to talk to you about the documentary, and even to talk about, you know, a little bit about your kind of fanaticism, should I say, with Mad Max. You know, I think that with your collection and everything you do, I think that's pretty fair to say. So, let's get into the documentary itself. So, why don't you, either one of you, tell me about what how that's going at this point, kind of how it started and where it's at this point.
How it started is a good one. I interviewed him for the 5 o'clock news one day on Long Island, where I was working at a television station. I just thought he was so interesting. So he's like, it's the big tough guy persona. And I met him as Lord Humongous. I hadn't even seen his face yet, but
lucky.
instantly we just clicked, and he clicked with me as a visual storyteller too, because I'm really drawn to really passionate, but also quirky, unique people when I like to tell stories. So I came up to him after the interview. I was wrapping up, ready to go home for the night. So can I just come up to your house and do like a 3-minute video for my news station? And he's like, yeah, sure. So we exchanged information, and then we got to talking and got to filming. And I realized that I didn't want, one, the station that I worked at to have the rights to this footage. And two, it was much bigger than a 3-minute story. So we almost immediately started traveling the world together. I think I hopped on my first plane ride with you 2 months after meeting you.
Well, yeah, we had our first conversation. Might have been, I don't know if it was that. No, it was after you came back out to the,
Eternal Con.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, Frank. Then we began talking after that. I remember we were on the phone, and I was like, well, you know, I do this event in Atlanta called Dragon Con. I do this event in California called Wasteland Weekend. I do this event in Australia, Silverton Collective. Would you be interested in going to any of those events to film this stuff? And you were like,
Hell yeah. So we did that for 2 full years. There was maybe like 2018 was, we had some fillers. The documentary took an interesting turn, couple interesting turns. One of them being just Tank going through some medical issues that made me not want to say that the documentary was wrapped, but being there for Tank as my friend and as somebody that I cared about very much, but also as a documentary filmmaker, just kind of staying on the line to see what, because he was an open book with me. So it was okay that I would film whatever you were going through. Mm-hmm. So the year of 2018, kind of the documentary went not quite all the way to the back burner, but it went put on pause while you got better. And I went to the hospital a couple of times, and I just waited to see how all of that panned out. And then 2019, we premiered a clip of it in Australia at the same movie theater that premiered Mad Max 2 The Road Warrior, which was so cool. Really, really, really cool. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, like the true tortured artist that I am, I came home back to the States and just took it apart and said, that wasn't right. That wasn't good enough. So now that we're finally, I shouldn't say finally, but now that I'm finally at home and resting, and it is unfortunately thanks to quarantine, I'm finally taking the last stab at it. I'm ready now. I feel really confident.
Are you sure?
I feel confident that the story has a good enough ending, finally.
Will the story ever end, though? I mean, really?
Will you ever end?
No.
Well, I'm excited about it. I know, like you said, 2018, you know, it's been a couple years that, you know, I've been psyched for it. A lot of people have been psyched for it. And it's, like you said, the trailer itself was shown in Australia. And didn't you show it also at an event in Pennsylvania, was it?
I did. Yeah. So actually, it was more than the trailer in Australia. I put together like a 50-minute clip.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of giving people a taste of what they would see. So it wasn't a completed story, but it was in itself a contained vignette. It had like a beginning, middle, and end, but it was just one day. I think it was just a gate crash, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much just one big gate crash at Wasteland, all edited together with a little bit of Australia in there. Because obviously people in Australia are going to want to see the Australia footage in there. And then what was the actual question that I'm answering?
You also showed some stuff in the Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, I did. So
pay attention.
I can't. The Mahoning Drive-In Theater in Mahoning, Pennsylvania is amazing. If you haven't heard of it, go to their Facebook, go to their Instagram. It's the country's last 35 millimeter only drive-in. It's amazing. And it's not just a drive-in where you sit in your car. It's this fully immersive interactive place. I want to plug the hell out of them because they're good friends and they deserve it. I thought that we were setting the bar so high in June when, because they always have my friend JT stages all like the theatrical photo booths and props. And he got me down there a couple of times to do cosplay for him just to drum up interest in the movies, because this is the last movie theater I would ever want to see close down. And it's not closing down because this year was like their banner record year. So they asked me to be in charge of a Mad Max event. And I rubbed that in tank space pretty good. That I got asked to be in charge of a Mad Max event in that tank. But we played all four films on 35 millimeter.
Oh, it was so cool to see the actual reels of the films. Like, wow.
Pictures. Yeah, that was really like they obviously Jeff lets you in the projection booth and you get to hold out the reels and watch them wind them and do everything with them.
Fingerprints all over.
Yes. Much and we rallied the troops. We got some local friends nearby and some not so local friends that made a pretty good drive with their vehicles and their costumes. And we brought Tank's replica Wes bike and we brought a humongous banner for the and like some oil drums and skulls and whatever rusty metal. And I was like, wow, this is probably
the best
photo backdrop they've ever had. And then like 3 weeks later, somebody literally built the cabin to Evil Dead. And I was like, well, I tried, but it was so amazing. And I actually reached out to a lot of the actors in all four films, and only the first two film actors in the first two films got back to me because I actually do have a nice working relationship with them. So we got people like Roger Ward, who plays Fifi, to say hi to the crowd and say hello at the Mahoning Drive-In Theater, and Emil Minty, who played the feral kid, and Vernon Wells.
Wow.
Kundalini, Paul Johnstone. He was and just for shits and giggles, I emailed Tina Turner, but she didn't get to me.
Wow.
No, you aim high, right?
Yeah, aim high. Why not? Why do I got to lose? I don't care.
We don't even know here.
So this podcast is actually video and audio. We have an audio version. So I feel bad for the people listening to audio because they can't see that great screen you have behind you showing clips of the documentary.
Hence why we were maybe like 15 minutes later than we promised you, because it was all like
technical difficulties.
We're like two boomers in the living room right now, like poking all our things. So I'm just playing my YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com/Famerman, you can see all the humongous doc clips. There's the full trailer, the teaser trailer, a little video I made on him being DJ Ivan Drago once for like a communist party in Newark.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll read too much into that.
It was a Cold War party.
Yeah.
Cold War party. Yeah. And something else. I don't know. I'm just...
On the Are You Mad for Silverton Collective.
Oh, yeah. And then like a Silverton Collective promo video I shot to get more people aware that there's this amazing event in Silverton in the Outback in Australia.
Yes. What your listeners are missing right now is me taking my shoes off on a diving board. So it's riveting stuff, really. Really.
There's you as Big Boa right there. I see that.
Yeah.
And the ladies are cheering him on like it's Chippendales. It's unbelievable. They're like, if I think one of them had money in her hand. Hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's I have to say, you know, there's the major premise of this documentary is the fact that Tank has so much stuff going on and he's admired by so many people. And I think that's like right there, you could see as Conan. I mean, it's amazing. Just like
sitting on the New York subway and nobody wants to sit next to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, Conan is amazing.
Yeah. And you know, actually as a side note, my favorite I guess it's a group cosplay that actually you were in also, Faye, was the Zod and Ursa
Zod Squad. We call it Zod Squad. Yeah.
That was amazing. I don't know how, like, you guys looked exactly like him. That was great. But that's
it was so much fun, and I didn't believe it was possible. I'm like, I look nothing like her. I don't look nothing like Sarah Douglas. Yeah, okay. And I'm like, well, this is going to be fun, and I'm all for it. But I look nothing like Sarah Douglas. And then we all looked in the mirror and we're like, holy shit!
Tell them about when we met Sarah.
So we actually. This was the one time I egged him on to make an expensive costume. I normally am the one being like, please no, please no, please no.
I'm like, no, we really can't afford it. And, you know, before you know it, I'm like, oh yeah, I think we can do this.
Well, we were at the Big Apple Comic Con in Manhattan because I wanted to meet Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks. And we saw this billboard advertising for Eternal Con that our friend Frank Patz puts on and, said Sarah Douglas and,
Jack O'Halloran
and Jim, who played Jimmy Olsen, who was in Back to the Future. he was also going to be there. So I was kind of like the last straw. I was like, hey, buddy, come on. Like, let's put these costumes together. Let's go. Let's finally do it. So we didn't have Jared, our friend Jared, with us, who plays General Zod. But the two of us went to Eternal Con 2018. And we finally made our, like, we strutted around and had our picture taken for like maybe like 2 hours, just completely, just there nothing else we could have done. Everybody just took our picture for 2 hours, which is awesome. And we finally made it over to the far, far, far corner of the Nassau Coliseum where they were sitting. And we walked over and we were just politely waiting in line like everybody else. And I felt really bad about it, but we started like causing a commotion. People were coming over and taking our picture right in front of Sarah Douglas and Jack O'Halloran's tables, where maybe we're three people deep in that line, not many people. And I felt really, really bad. I'm like, well, this is just seems shitty that we're doing this. And all of a sudden I feel this arm come around the back of my neck, and it's Sarah Douglas. And she goes, let's do this. And then all the cameras came out.
Poor Jack. I mean, he has a hard time getting around in his age. And he practically hopped over the table to come with us. It was really cool.
The
really,
sweetest really cool. people ever. Oh, that's nice. I was wearing a wig, which was so kind of her, because I was fighting all morning with that wig. And I'm like, this wig looks terrible. And then she told me about how she had really long hair and it was hard to stuff it all under there. And we were kind of commiserating about that. But it was really cool.
I think the thing was, we were at that convention where several of our friends were there, and we walked right past them, and they didn't even recognize us.
They didn't recognize us. They had
no idea who we were.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I'll talk to them anyway.
Yeah.
So. Now you're fraternizing with big stars, right?
Exactly.
All right, so optimistically, sorry to cut you off, Sean.
Oh, go ahead.
Optimistically, when can somebody like me watch the documentary?
I'm really hoping by next year. Right now, my laptop has been in the shop for a week. If I finally sat down a couple weeks ago to try and here I am, I'm going to edit this and get it done. I'm like, I finally had it in my head. I felt like I couldn't, so many times I tried to sit down and there's so many moving pieces and so many complicated ways it could have gone off that I could have told at least seven different stories. So that was really overwhelming for me. And also I'm doing it completely alone, and I tend to thrive when I collaborate, but this is just me on my own time, with no budget. I'm not paying anybody. So it's just me. So that makes it harder too. And I get in my own head and I slow myself down. I am my own worst critic, which is why I ripped it apart when we got home from Australia. And there was nothing wrong with it, but it doesn't matter. It was just that good. And I still did not have the ending landed in my head, but I do now.
But you have the closing shot.
I do have the closing
shot. She practically had tears in her eyes when she got the closing shot. It was pretty, pretty cool.
I did, because it was just a nice, peaceful moment. It wasn't like a plot point or a turning event. It was just this really nice moment. But anyway, so I opened up my laptop and my speakers were blown. And you can't edit a movie with blown speakers. So get that back, I hope, this week.
It's Tuesday. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh, it's pretty quick. Yeah.
And then you should have the movie by like Saturday.
Yeah, sure.
On that. Next year.
All right. Saturday next year.
Just send over some Adderall.
Watch what you say.
The question that's on everybody's mind, which is the best Mad Max movie?
That's easy.
I'm so tempted to say the wrong one. Tempted to say the wrong one.
This is a test.
As my boss would say when he was interviewed by the Australian crew that came up to do their documentary, the one with... when Mel Gibson was driving through the desert.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay, that one.
Yeah.
I think the Road Warrior is just absolute perfection, start to finish. I would not change a thing.
Yeah, but so is Fury Road.
Fury Road is on a whole other scale. But I guess because I grew up with the Road Warrior, it's hard. You can't put a price tag on that.
Exactly. Yeah. That definitely has the higher place for that reason alone. It is. It's an exciting movie. And that's one of the most memorable villains of all time.
Thank you.
Who we're now good friends with, which is just hilarious. We'll wake up to, Facebook messages from Shel Nilsson from down in Australia.
There's a picture on our refrigerator of me and him eating ice cream together, Baskin Robbins.
I took them out for ice cream in Australia. I'm going to get the picture.
Sure, why not?
It's so freaking cute.
So the people listening will have no idea what this picture looks like. I'm really sorry.
You just have to describe it really, really well.
Yes. You're two old guys.
Two old.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah. So he's in the documentary too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, big time, yeah, big time. I interviewed him. He came to Queens about 4 years ago, and that's when it was like fish in a barrel. There was a Mad Max reunion at a con in, at WinterCon in Queens.
Again, thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. And the next year, he gave us a Blade Runner reunion, and I have footage of him high-fiving Rucker Hauer. It's just
a bicycle. And he high-fives me.
He had bad knees, so he got around the con on a bicycle. And
you have no footage of me eating his pizza, though.
We did steal that. Please don't tell people we stole his pizza. Don't do that.
We didn't steal it. He didn't finish it. I finished it for him. I'm just, you know, looking out.
He did. He came out, and I was sitting there eating pizza while Tank DJed as Roy Batty, which was fucking weird. Yeah. And then pardon my ass. And then he left his pizza there, and I was like, "Yo, bro, I left his pizza there."
I'm not too proud.
And I was joking. Over.
I mean, when you're hungry, right?
Yeah.
Let it go to waste. Yeah. But
that WinterCon prior to that one, where the Road Warrior was, that was like fish in a barrel. I have interviews with Bruce Spence, Emil Minty, Vernon Wells, Shel Nilsson, and I think that's Virginia it. I didn't interview Virginia Hay. I interviewed him for Carl's costume blog, but not for the doc.
Right.
She was, I think, too busy.
She was
like jam packed. Yeah. But like Shel and I stepped away for a while. Vernon and I became like BFFs that weekend, and we still text, and it's pretty cute. Emil is such a nice guy, the feral kid.
Yeah.
Their tables for autographs and pictures were set up directly across the small corner of the room from Tank's Mad Max collection. So literally that whole weekend, I just had unlimited access to Tank and all of Mad Max gear and all of his friends in costumes. And then 25 yards away, almost the entire cast of the Road Warrior. And I just ping ponged between the room for 3 days.
Yeah.
And at one point I walked up to Emil's table. I was trying to get everybody rounded up for a group photo with your collection. And Emil sees me coming. Like I'm walking towards him with my cameras, and he puts his hands on the table and he stands up and he looks me in the eyes and he's like, "Yes, Faye, what can I do for you?" It's like, damn, bossing around the cast of Mad Max.
Yeah. Behind you was like, what did he say?
Okay. Well, all right. You guys, this is going to be a short talk, but it's not.
Oh. So,
at one point I was filming, it was you showing them the gun box. It wasn't like the big meeting. Okay. It wasn't the big meeting or even like the second big meeting. I think it was like a third, just you bullshitting with Shel at Shell's table.
Third big meeting. Yeah.
The third big meeting. Yeah. And I'm standing there filming, and I'm kind of blocking the little passageway between Vernon Wells's table and Shel Nilsson's table. And I'm just in the zone. I'm filming. I'm paying attention to everything. And then I just feel this presence come right up against my back. And right in my ear, he goes, I hear all of a sudden Vernon Wells's voice go, "Move your ass." It's like, oh, shit. I didn't know him that well yet, and that was still kind of scary. Almost, but not as scary as when we met the toe cutter. When we met the toe cutter, what were you going to say?
No, that's what I was going to say.
The toe cutter?
Yeah. Tell him about the toe cutter. You.
What?
No, please.
Yeah, what's the toe cutter?
So we were in Australia. It was my first time in Australia for the doc in 2017. I just filmed my first Mad Max Silverton Collective. And that's from the Mad Max Silverton Collective, if you're watching the video. So we hopped around. We were in Melbourne doing Mad Max 1 filming locations and documentary stuff. And then the Outback for Mad Max 2 filming locations and documentary stuff. And then it was over to Sydney just for honestly some downtime. But we got in touch with Tim Ridge, who is Hugh Keyes-Burns' friend but handler.
Yeah.
We're sitting at Tim Ridge's house and just talking Mad Max.
Eating Tim Tams.
Eating Tim Tams, having tea, sitting at the kitchen table, talking Mad Max. And I have a chair in the kitchen where if I leaned back and looked that way, I could see to the front of the house at the front door. And I see this gigantic older fellow walking up the steps, and he's wearing blue coveralls, like working coveralls. Did I make up the utility belt?
No.
Okay. I swear to God, like I had like a fever dream, the utility belt. So he was wearing a utility belt and coveralls. And what was Richie's wife's name? Mary?
You're asking me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm the one who's bad with names. Right,
so,
sorry.
Mrs. Rich. It's been a few years.
Sorry.
So I was like, you know, excuse me. I think like a utility worker is coming to your house for something. And they're like, not quite. And then I look again and Hugh Keysburn is standing there. And I look at Tank and I'm like, holy shit, it's the toe cutter.
He's here for tea.
And I was so scared of him. And I'm a sane and logical person. I can differentiate actors from movies. And he was such a sweetheart. He was soft-spoken, mm-hmm. a man of few words. Like, if you got him on the right topic, he'd talk to you. But, mm-hmm. like, he's not just, he wouldn't say he was born with the gift of gab, but he was a very sweet, gentle man. Very. And we're sitting like this, talking. Like, he's sitting right next to me, and I laughed at something he said. And at one point, he just looked over at me. He just gave me side eye, and that, like, triangle eyebrow of his just raised up, and he just looked at me with like this little grin on his face. And I was like, so please don't hurt me.
We talked for probably a couple of hours
with you. Sure. That's what goes without saying.
Yeah. Right. At the table. And, from time to time, I would get little bits of the toe cutter
for
in
sure.
there, like yeah. inside him. Like, you could tell what he would tap into, to bring that character to life. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
Interesting story. The only Mad Max films that he has seen is Mad Max 1 and Fury Road.
The two he's
no in. Way.
I've only seen the two I'm in.
So when I talked about like the whole Humongous documentary, he's like, Humongous what?
Yeah, he didn't know who Humongous was.
Yeah.
No. Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
did you tell him there is no such thing as Thunderdome? You just told him about
that one. Well, he had no idea what we were talking. Thunder what? What are you saying? No. What a day that was.
Yeah.
We are having this discussion on the day of the election. They are tallying votes mm-hmm. right now. We are first and foremost a post-apocalyptic site, so I think I would be remiss not to ask. In this context, how concerned are you about coming civil unrest in the next couple weeks?
Wildly. Wildly. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're both wrong. Mm-hmm. All year I've been thinking this feels like we're actually, because you can joke about it. Like, oh, it's the end of days. Oh, it's mm-hmm. this, it's that. But this is the first time ever all year long I felt we are actually towing a very thin line between real societal unraveling mm-hmm. and just what we would joke about otherwise.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people are feeling it. I mean, we went to the grocery store Sunday night after we came back from a trip, and we dropped a lot of money to load up on supplies.
Just food. I mean, just stuff to keep us at home and safe and comfortable. Yeah,
better to be prepared than not.
We live in an isolated area.
Yeah.
If things ever hit us, it would like the apocalypse must have been rampaging for like 3 years before things finally.
We're in the mountains of northern New Jersey, so we're about an hour northwest.
Don't tell.
How much food did you get?
Yeah.
Toilet paper.
Yeah. Oh, we got toilet paper. All right. We learned our lesson. But we're still like an hour from New York City. So if stuff starts hitting the fan, it's going to take hopefully at least a day and a half to get to us. So we'll see. Yeah.
I've never in my life worried about a peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah. Right. But it is a little different this time, huh?
Yeah. Like, I don't know who's going to throw down with the coup, but somebody's throwing down with the coup. I don't know if it's going to be Trump's people or anti-Trump people, but a coup's a coming. Like, I don't say that lightly. It worries me. My 11-year-old nephew has been texting me for the last hour, like, Trump's up 70,000 points, Trump's up 120,000 points. I'm like, oh, pumpkin pie, like, you're 11.
Yeah.
Like, who, like, George H.W. Bush was president when I was 11. I was, like, hardly clued in. I was a little more clued in.
Things
when,
are different now.
Yeah. Oh, no, Clinton.
Oh, Clinton.
It doesn't matter. But Clinton. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton shows up like Beetlejuice. Yeah.
He's not like Candyman.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I don't know. I remember hardly being clued in. My parents took us to a couple Clinton rallies, but it was because specifically Bill Clinton was promising to save the Army Depot where my dad worked. So we were going to all these rallies to make sure that my dad's kept his job. And I just can't imagine being that scared at 11 and he's so in touch with the world. And it's that generation I fear for the most. Mm. They had so much taken from them this year.
Oh yeah.
quarantine and COVID and school and friends and this scary political climate that they can't even escape by going out and playing in the woods with their friends or running around like kids should be doing. Mm-hmm. It makes me nervous and it makes me sad. I try not to let him know how nervous I am or sad I am for him. I'm just trying to be there like, don't worry, stay positive. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Find out soon.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Yeah. Well, thank you for opening up about that and discussing that earnestly with us, because I think it's something we ought to be aware of and just be prepared. You know, it's always a good idea to be prepared no matter what's going on around us, because let's face it, there are nuclear bombs pointed right at our heads at every moment of our life. You know, we really can't get away from the fact that we're just a step away from that happening in our world. And so, be prepared, be ready for it. At the same time, we've got to live our lives to the fullest. And
we have quarantine to play around in, come on, let's get back to it.
I was reading something interesting this morning. After that, I was really trying hard to stay off my phone, but it was something they had eloquently put into words, something I had been toying around with. And I'm not going to do it justice because I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but it was something to the effect of, sometimes when things feel like they're unraveling, they are unraveling, but they're unraveling because you can't build something new until something old crumbles. So this could be another way to look at this is just a metaphorical apocalypse. Just the way things were that were just clearly not working have finally reached a breaking point. And certain institutions and certain things are crumbling. Certain people are more aware now. Many more people are just more connected and unified against a lot of things that the current president, whose name I can't say, this is a dirty word, that he's been shoving in our faces, like racism and anti-immigration and just these, in my opinion only, just these terrible policies. And I think a lot of people have come together and united against that and are trying to form something bigger and better that works better and that teaches children actual history instead of this like whitewashed patriarchal version of history, all the way up to systemic racism in police. I know we're really going far off the deep end here, but in the police system, like just, I think it's time a lot of things in this country did unravel. So maybe we'll have a real apocalypse. Maybe we'll have a metaphorical one. We could build something new together.
Grab your leather hot pants. Let's go.
Yeah. Those unrealistic clothes and get out of here.
Amazing when COVID first like really hit, the number of memes that came out and the number of memes that I was actually in.
Oh, check my drink and I'm a meme.
Yes. Yeah. I'm three memes, actually.
I think you're more than two.
And tell people how they can tell when it's you and not the real Shell Nielsen.
You mean they can't just look into the eyes of the Lord and know?
Yeah, if the eyes are real dreamy, that's me. I have one tattoo on my body. It's an old punk band called The Misfits. A lot of people have heard of them now. But I used to work for those guys. Well, I started out as a huge fan as a kid, and then I became their babysitter, actually, at one point when I was their tour manager. But that's how you can tell. That's sometimes the only way you can tell the difference between Shell and myself is the tattoo on my right shoulder. Funny story about that. Every bodybuilder knows what the right angles are that he wants to be photographed at or viewed at. And for me, it's straight on. I have wide shoulders, broad back. That's the look that is me, quote unquote. So side shots or relaxed shots, those are not the shots I want to promote. Same thing with Shell. I mean, another bodybuilder. He's, when he sees a camera, he's going to pump up a little bit and assume the position, so to speak. There was a picture that we were looking at the Silverton Hotel down in Australia in the outback for the last Silverton Collective.
Because there are so many photo albums taken by people that live there.
Oh my God.
So many behind the scenes photos of the
treasure trove of you go in the Mad Max Museum and like the walls and the ceiling and the floor, everything's covered with photos from people that were just extras in the movie and just all their behind the scenes photos. But there's lots of photos that people still have like at home in their photo albums that nobody's seen.
They'll come to the collective and just walk in the door and
hey, check these out. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there was photos being passed around, and I would, for the first time, a photo was handed to me of a back, you know, behind the scenes shot of the Road Warrior, and Shell was in the background in costume, and he wasn't facing the camera. He didn't know the picture wasn't being taken, so he wasn't, you know, pumping up a little bit. He wasn't posing. And for the first time, I looked at that picture and went, I don't remember. I don't remember this picture being taken of me. I swear to God, I thought it was me for a second. I duped myself. Bless my heart. The tattoo is the way. There used to be a wedding band, but that's not the case anymore.
That was always an easy way, though.
That was always an easy way. There's a photo that really looks like a still from one of the movies, where I'm pointing the gun at the camera pretty much, and Wes is over my right shoulder. We took that at Wasteland Weekend 2014, and Jeff Allen, who's just a whiz with this stuff, he added the right amount of grain to it, and it really looks like a still from the movie. But about the only way you could tell the difference is the wedding band on my left hand.
And it still gets used in promotional posters. The first night I ever filmed with you, we did two events. We did Eternal Con in the late evening, and then late at night we went over to Newark and did that post-apocalyptic party. And the banners promoting that post-apocalyptic party at QXT's in Newark was a photo of Tank as Lord Humongous. Yeah. But they didn't know that.
They contacted me and said, hey, we're doing this post-apocalyptic, you know, Mad Max sort of party. We wanted to know if you could come out and just make an appearance at it. And so I went to their website and I pulled up the promotional poster they had. And there was all these pictures from the variety of Mad Max films, little cutouts, kind of like a collage. And they were all seen from the movie, except for the picture in the upper left-hand corner, which was a picture of me. And I said, well, I guess I have to be there because you've got me on the poster. So it goes without saying. But it happens a lot. I'm honored, but I'm humbled at the same time.
You sure? What?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
She's not wearing pants. Don't stand up.
All right. So
none of us.
This was this shirt, and there was also a coffee mug and a cell phone backer thing. This was something that somebody was offering online, like through Facebook, one of those sites that like, hey, you know, only available for today only or something. Well, I don't know. It's a shirt you can order online. It's a picture of me, even though it says Longest on it.
And so you sued them into oblivion.
Yeah, sure. And now I'm rich.
I said you should at least get a cut.
I should get a cut. I should get cut. Says anything. There was a shirt that somebody showed me on eBay that was said like, what a puny plan. And it's a picture of Lord Humongous walking. And it's me. I had to buy the shirt. It's one of my favorite shirts. It's very comfortable. that happens a lot. Mistaken identity. Mm-hmm. And I like I said, it's an honor that I am mistaken for that. But I at the same time, I don't want to step on Shell's toes. I mean, in my mind, he is the man. He's the original. You know, I'm just the mediocre copy.
Shell Nelson told Tank that he's the next generation of this character.
Evil character.
Evil character. we have Shell Nelson's blessing.
Wow. Yeah. Thank God. And that was important to me. I was nervous going in, like, what's he going to think?
That was the scariest day of filming for me, because that was the day I could not afford to F anything up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even
put the battery in the camera.
I would never do that. Mm. I think I even hired, or like we barely paid, or they did it as a favor, like two other photographers just to have my back in case something else went down. Because this was going to be the first time the two Humongi met. And it was going to be. Yeah.
Really?
Nervous.
You recorded the first time they met.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. WinterCon in Queens 2016, the Road Warrior reunion was the first time they ever met.
That's awesome. Well we have reached the end of our time. You guys, this has been really fun.
Probably way over time.
About the web address where people can go and check it out and know when the documentary comes out.
Well, place your bets on when the documentary is coming out, but it'll be next year, I swear, now that I know how it ends. But you can go to humongousdoc.com, but it's spelled humongous like the character, so humungus.doc.com.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you to all of our guests. And this is Derek from Post Apocalyptic Media, reminding you to stay safe out there and always be prepared for the big one.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It was good to talk to you.